He has blessed us to see another day. We understand that outside of the coronavirus, there are many things that can take us out. I mean, if you look at the fatalities just in car accidents in the United States alone, I mean, it's tragic how many of us die in auto-related accidents. And there's other things, too. There's a common flu and things of that nature, you know, other illnesses other than this here. So, all right, let us start by, we're going to do some singing here. Let's see. If I can get my glasses to stop falling out. Let's see where we go. Well, okay, let's turn to 584. 584 to Canaan's land. Let us sing. To Canaan's land I'm on my way, where the soul never dies. My darkest night will turn to day, where the soul never dies. No sad farewell, no tear dim die. Where all is, excuse me, and the soul never die. Of roses blooming there for me, where the soul never die. And I will spend eternity where the soul ever die. No sad farewell, no tear dim dies. Where all is love and the soul never die. A love light beams across the foam, where the soul never dies. It shines to light the shores of home, where the soul never dies. No sad farewell, no tear dim die. Where all is love and the soul never dies. Number five. I am on my way to that fair land where the soul never dies. Where there will be no parting hand and the soul never die. No sad farewell, no tear dim dies. Where all is love and the soul never dies. Amen. Okay, let's Used to have a book that was marked, and unfortunately, this ain't it. Okay. Da-da-da. I don't think I want to do the little talk with Jesus, but we can do our live in glory. So 248. 248. There we go. 248. It's only three stanzas, so we can do all three. I'll live in glory. Let us see. I'd like to stay here longer than man's allotted days, and watch the fleeting changes of life's uneven ways. But if my Savior calls me to that sweet home on high, I'll live with him forever in glory by and by. Oh yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I'll tell and sing love's story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I want to be of service along this pilgrim way, and lead the lost to Jesus as fervently I pray. As day by day I travel, I'll keep him ever nigh, and live with him forever in glory by and by. Oh yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I'll tell and sing love's story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh yes, I'll live in glory by and by. The end I know is nearing, by faith I look away to yonder home supernal, the land of endless day. I'll cling to him forever and look beyond the sky and live with him forever in glory by and by. Oh yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I'll tell and sing love story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh yes, I'll live in glory by and by. Oh yes, I'll live in glory, glory by and by. I'll tell and sing love story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh yes, I'll live in glory by and by. Man, goodness gracious, got some, here's some good singing going on. I didn't want that one to end. Very good, praise the Lord. All right, one more and then we'll get into our lesson. Let's see, what shall it be? I think there's a song that has that in there. What shall it be? Let's do 514. Nope, that's not it. Nope, that's a different one. All right, skip that one. Let's try. And my brethren, I'm trying to keep the beat up. Power in the blood. I usually just go right to them in the day, not so much. Trying. How about 489? That's one of the ones that we always seem to. And we'll end with that. 489, stepping in the light. Stepping in the light. Stepping in the light. Not into the darkness, but into the light. Who is that mass song leader up there? Huh? All right, 489, stepping in the light. Let us sing. Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, trying to follow our Savior and King, shaping our lives by His blessed example. Happy, how happy the songs that we bring. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light, pressing more closely to Him who is leading. When we are tempted to turn from the way, trusting the arm that is strong to defend us. Happy, how happy our praises each day. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, let it. The Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light, trying to walk in the steps of the Savior. Upward, still upward, we'll follow our guide. When we shall see Him, the King in His beauty, happy, how happy our place at His side. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light. Amen. Beautiful singing here this morning. Well, again, welcome. Today, we're going to continue with our study of the book of Job. And again, we're looking at Job chapter 38. In Job chapter 38, this is the point in the scripture, or the study, I would say, where we see God actually, whoopsie daisy, where is that? We see God actually answering Job. Now, he's not answering Job in the way that Job warned him to answer. Job had a lot of questions, right? So, he's a man that's following the commandments of God. He's upright. Good guy, right? In a sense, I hate to use that term because even Jesus had to correct them and say there's only one good, and that's the Father, right? So let's just say he was an upright man. He was one that strayed, eschewed evil. So he was, we would call him a good guy. But in this particular instant where he's hit by the devil, God is allowing the devil to be able to attack Job. And Job, he's lost all of his wealth that he had, and he was considered the richest man in all of Asia. He had 10 kids, 7 sons and 3 daughters, and they were killed, and he still didn't curse God. And then the devil, when they came back again, said, hey, skin for skin, you touch his body, he'll curse you, you know. So then he put the sores all over his body, the pusculars all over, you know, just from the head to the toe. He thought he was dying. He thought he had some disease that was going to take his life. He was in misery and pain. He couldn't sleep. He had nightmares every time he tried to sleep. And he was just in pain 24/7. He was just in agony. And he wanted to die. And in verse chapter 3, he wishes that the day had never come that he was born. You know, I wish I had never been born. I wish that day was eradicated. Take it from the calendar, you know. And so he's miserable. And his wife, prior to that, had told him, why don't you just curse God and die? So he had the devil taking everything he had, his possessions, his finances, his family, and then now his health. So basically all those things that we have, he's just taking everything from Job. So then that was supposed to get Job to relinquish his allegiance toward God. That didn't work. And then the wife, the devil apparently tried to use the wife, curse God and die. That didn't work. And then after that, we had his friends that came by, Eliphaz and Bildad. So Eliphaz being the first one to get up and the oldest of all of them. And so they start immediately, seems like they're accusing him of some sort of secret sin. It's like all these bad things wouldn't be happening to you if you were really truly good, Job. So apparently Job, because God is good and God only punishes evil people, then you must have done something evil. I bet you all that money that you had, you probably stole from the poor. You probably did something, you know, slick, and you were a slickster. You conned people out of money. There was something you had to do, Job. What's your secret sin, Nate? And all they were just attacking him one after the other. And after a while, Job was thinking, you know, what have I done? I mean, God, I praise you. I offer sacrifices. I mean, why is it? Why are you paying attention to me? Why are your eyes up on me? Why are you destroying me? And so that was his problem. He did everything right except he questioned God. And then when we get to 38, God's like, okay, pull up your bootstraps there, buddy. You know, buckle up. Be a man, because now you've asked me a lot of questions. Looks like our brother needs to be awakened. He's in this what we call REM sleep, stage 5. All right. So when we're looking at chapter 38, it's like, you know, it's like, where were you? Were you here when I created the earth? Were you here? Do you understand how the earth is fixed, the axis of the earth, how it's aligned, the sea, how the sea stays in one place and the shoreline, it doesn't go above that shoreline? You know, all these things that we can't answer, the constellations, can you explain them, how they operate in certain sequences based on certain seasons, you know, January, February, March, April, all these things are aligned in different ways, and then how the moon, it's just lightning, thunder, rain, snow. So we went through a lot of that. So let's go to, we're going to look at verse 32. So again, we're still in chapter 38, but we're going to look at verse 32 now. So in 32, it says, canst thou bring forth Maseroth in its season, or canst thou guide Arcturus with its sons? So I looked up as much as I could. Again, Maseroth is an astrological constellation as well. So again, we're dealing with constellations. I'm not into astrology or anything like that, so I don't know. The zodiac, it's called the zodiac of the constellation. And that's the Arcturus. It's a zodiac or a constellation. So we're still dealing with these constellations in the air, in the sky. Signs of the zodiac, basically, is what we're dealing with. Seasons of which is the summer heat. We got seasons, the winter, the fall, all these things, spring, summer. So then we have certain constellations that behave in certain ways and appear in certain formations and appear in certain areas. And then there are things that happen based on these constellations being in their alignments. So it's like, can you explain that, Job? Since you are asking me, God, why I'm doing this, you have the audacity to ask me, God, a question, you know, first of all, were you here when the earth was created? Maybe you can tell me how the earth was created. Okay, tell me how the orbit of the earth, okay? Can you tell me how it stays in its place, how it stays on its axis? And then we come down to the earth itself. Can you tell me about the oceans and why they stay where they are and they don't go any further? Can you explain hell? You know, we talked about hell being that ice that seems to be for destruction and destruction only. You know, and they can look at the purposes of dew, rain, and all of them are to help the vegetation. And basically what it does is it waters the ground so that the vegetation is fertile, and then that produces food, and then we have trees, and that produces oxygen, takes away this, all these things. The ecosystem wouldn't exist if the rain didn't exist, if the dew didn't exist, but the hail, we can see it being used by God as a destructive measure. You know, I mean, we're talking about the enemies of God, and we talked about that, how God had the hail to fall out of the sky and destroy the enemies of Israel. So these things we just cannot explain. We can't explain the astrological constellations either. So in 33, in verse 33, it says, "Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth?" I don't know too many people that have measured the earth. I mean, we do have satellites that can do a pretty good job of that with the technology that we have today. But I'm not sure if Job actually had that technology, satellite technology, back then. Now, I could be wrong, but as far as I know, I don't think Job had that technology. And canst thou lift up the voice of the clouds? Back to 33. The ordinances of heaven. Art thou a thorough astronomer? Do you know all the constellations? Can you tell me everything about them? Why they're there? What they represent? How they get there? Are you acquainted with the laws of planetary system? How the planets work? Okay, from the circulation of the planet around the moon, or the moon's around the planet, or one going clockwise, the other one going counterclockwise, the distances between the planets, how many planets we have, the distances between the sun and the moon, all these things, right? And so that caused the planets themselves to be able to sustain life, especially on the planet Earth. Now, we say that life is not on the other planets, and then they say, well, there may be microscopic organisms, but we just can't explain it. Can you imagine trying to explain to God how planets are aligned and the distances between the planets, gravity, the orbits, all these things? How did it just happen? That the orbit that we're staying here in orbit? Well, what is orbit? Okay, explain what orbit is, and who created orbit? And how do they know how much orbit to create in order to keep the planets where they need to be? You know, I mean, just there's so much we don't know. Again, the whole purpose of this study in 38. Right now, let's be honest. What's the foremost thing on our minds right now? Huh? Food? Okay. Well, that's too funny. Oh my God. You would think that is definitely true. I went to the store Friday and early in the morning, and the toilet paper, it was like locusts. They were getting huge bundles of toilet paper, like that's what they're going to be eating for the next 6 months, is the toilet paper. So maybe they know something about the toilet paper we don't know. And maybe it's not just for one use. But I'm telling you, this corona, every time COVID-19, whatever they want to call it, coronavirus, which we were, it's like ISIS and ISIL, you know, I mean, goodness gracious. But they changed the name, but it's still the same virus. And this virus is a very dangerous virus. And every time you turn on the news, it's about that virus. It's about the economic collapse and all of these things. So now, let's put ourselves in Job's position. We're good church-going folk, right? Christians. We've obeyed his commands. We're doing what he wants us to do. We're telling people about the good Lord Almighty. You're doing the best to live a Christian life. And all of a sudden, God allows this COVID-19 to come here and wreak havoc? Why? Why, God? Why didn't you just stop it? Like you did SARS, okay? Like you did the bird flu. Now, the Spanish flu was a dangerous thing that took out millions, okay? It's very dangerous. COVID-19 might do the same. They don't know. They're not sure. But let me tell you. Say it again. Swine flu was bad as well. Yeah. And a lot of this virus, I think they virus A, virus B, type A, type B, is still residue from the Spanish flu of the 1800s, right? So we still have that. That's called the normal, regular flu. What happened with SARS is that you had a situation where there's a mutation. Anytime you have something that is not natural, and it's like there are natural viruses that occur, but sometimes when they're manipulated, and a lot of people do believe that this is a bioweapon that was manipulated, it hasn't been tested outside of a laboratory. They don't know what it's going to do when it gets out in the open. And like SARS, it changed. Okay, it mutated. The mutation was good because the mutation made the virus less lethal, okay? So it decreased the lethalness of the virus, so all of a sudden it wasn't this big pandemic threat. But they were talking about the bird flu, SARS, it's going to be pandemic just like this one. Now, I'm not trying to take anything away from this. It's a serious thing. As Christians, what can we do? Let's ask the question. You've got a virus. Everybody's afraid of a virus. You know why? Is there a cure for a virus? Does anybody know? Is there a cure for a virus? Can you take a vaccine for a virus? They got vaccines, but guess what? Guess what the common cold is? It's a virus. Why do we keep getting the common cold? We have antibiotics, right? For bacteria. But what do we have? Do we have you ever heard of antivirus? You don't hear that too much, okay, at all. It has to play itself out, and you have to boost your immune system. You know, it's about a strong immune system. God blessed us with a good one. But this one is a foreign one. This particular one is foreign. Body doesn't quite, you know, they're not sure if we're going to build up immunity to this one here. They think if you get it and get over it, it may resurface again. And in fact, that's what happened with the Spanish flu. The Spanish flu, it was not the first round that was the deadly round. It was the second round. So yes, we have to keep it serious, but as Christians, if we're not scientists, you know, that know exactly how this works, if we're not working with biological germ warfare, if we're not one of those in the secret laboratories that know everything about this virus and maybe even how to stop this virus, because it's man-made, okay? There's always a created and there's always a vaccine. It's always something, you know, an antidote. You know, you create the poison, but you have an antidote for it. When it comes to this particular virus, as Christians, let's just think of it from a spiritual perspective. What is it we can do? And that's this is an open question. What is it we can do? You got it. You got it. You got it. Huh? Okay, pray and read Psalm 91. Now, what's in Psalm 91 that you focus on? Okay. We follow God. God says that if we follow him, he'll give us long life, right? Long longevity. In order to have a long life, you got to be able to live, right? Prayer is the most important thing. So let's look at science. I'm just going to touch science just a little bit. And then we're going to go and bring it into the spiritual realm. And okay, because this is all about, this is not gloom and doom. But we have to understand when we obey the gospel, after that baptism, and we receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that ability to communicate with God, to have God in us, prayer is the one thing we're told to do nonstop. Why? Because it is the most powerful thing that we have as Christians. Science knows this. A scientific experiment. I want to see what this thing does if I do this and add this. My mindset. I may think, good, if I add this, it might do that. Guess what? Just the me being present, my body, being too close to the experiment, and my mindset, thinking that experiment's going to go this way, affects the experiment. It affects it. So there's a difference between an experiment being done where a person is there. Take the person away and the experiment changes. It's different outcomes. That means there's an effect. That means what I think affects the experiment. By just the nature of my body being there, whatever that nature is, the nature of my body, my brain being there affects the experiment. Guess what? When they look at placebo experiments in the hospital, and they look at people that did not receive medication, but they're spiritual, they broke it down. People who are not religious, people who are religious, the placebo effect always was better with those who were what? Christians, who were believers. Because it is how your belief system is, how you believe. See, if we believe in the scripture, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And you truly believe it? There is an effect. There is an effect that goes out in God's universe. When we pray and we believe it, we change things. And so we have to get together and we have to pray for mutation, that this coronavirus will mutate, that it will lose its potency, okay? We have to together, as brothers and sisters in Christ, pray against that. And we have to believe in the Bible when it says, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. If it is a weapon, and especially formed against us, let it not prosper, okay? And let's pray against it. That is our power that we have. Being positive, saying, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I can do all things of Christ that strengthens me. And then we know that if we do His will, He'll take care of us, okay? So we just continue to do the will of God, and He'll take care of us. Let's go back to Job in 34. In verse 34 it says, canst thou lift up the voice of the clouds that abundance of water may cover thee? Canst thou produce lightning? Job, can you produce lightning? Then I can say, can you even explain? Thunder. Do you understand about thunder? Can you produce it? Can you make it thunder? Go ahead, Job, make it thunder. And God's like, okay, Job, I'm waiting. Make it thunder. Go ahead. Make it lighten, Job. Okay. All right, now he's talking to old Eric boy, you know. Brother Eric, hey, make it thunder. Make it lightning. But God, I got a question for you, God. Why are you allowing this coronavirus? There's innocent people that's dying. No. Before you ask of me, Brother Eric, just tell me a simple thing. Just do a short, simple thing. Just make it thunder, make it lightning. If you can't do that, shut up. I'm God. Don't you think I know about this coronavirus? I knew that Adam and Eve were going to mess up in the garden. So even before creation, God had already put in plan His Son to come down here as a sacrificial lamb to die for our sins. So that is the good news. The good news is that God knows about the coronavirus, okay? And has already known about the coronavirus before the scientists created the coronavirus. So he's already put in provisions, especially for his children. So that's the good thing, right? That's the good thing. It's not masks, not gloves that's going to keep us safe, whether we have it on or not, right? I've got it. But is it that that's keeping me safe? Or is it that God? Right? That's where our trust is. So, canst thou lift up the voice of the clouds? The answer is that you can't. In verse 35, it says, canst thou send lightnings that they may go and say unto thee, here we are. Can you control? Can you manage the lightning? Can you tell it, lightning, go here. I want you to strike here. I want you to thunder in 3 seconds. I want you to thunder in 4 seconds. You know, I want you not to thunder at all. I've seen some of those weird lightning things where I'm waiting on the thunder and it never comes. I just see the lightning. Go figure. I can't explain it. So where is it? 36. How do we explain these mysteries of life? Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts? Who hath given understanding to the heart? Who has given the person understanding? Where does understanding come from? The ability to see a mathematical formula and to be able to comprehend it and be able to figure things out. Where did that come from? So now you're going to have to start explaining to me the human mind, the human brain that's capable of spiritual things. Okay, and that's what we're doing. What is faith? The substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things that are not seen. Can't see it. We can't see it, not yet seen. We can't see it. Okay? So we deal in a realm, just like the microscopic realm. You can't see it without a microscope. Guess what? With faith, a microscope can't see it. You can't even pick faith up with a microscope. But yet, that is the biggest part of a Christian's life. Why? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The just shall live by faith. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. So there you go. So our whole existence as Christians is one of faith, one that you can't see. And so basically, we have to continue to walk out on faith. That was Job's mistake. Job, you may not be able to see why you're going through all these trials and tribulations, all these struggles. But if you truly trust in me, know that I know, as God, I know what you're going through. All of us, everything that every one of us is going through, whatever it is, physical pains and woes, emotional, mental, financial, all of those things, spiritual, God knows. He knows what's going on. And he is a God that provides all of our needs. Okay, we just have to continue to trust in him. In 37, it says, who can number the clouds in wisdom? Who can stay the bottle of heaven? With that one, the clouds, accustomed to carry the water from... Look, at the clouds have water in them. Explain to me how that works. A cloud? Okay. Before I started flying in an airplane, I looked at a cloud. A cloud looks like something poofy that you can actually touch, right? Like a pillow. Big old pillow, floating pillows in the sky. So all of a sudden we're going to a cloud, and I'm like, ooh, I like to rest on a cloud. But then when you go through the cloud in the plane, it's just like this mist and fog. There's nothing solid about it, you know? I'm like, where's the cushy, floofy clouds? It's like it all just disappeared. And I'm thinking, goodness gracious, how does water stay up there, you know, in that cloud? I can see something solid holding water. But something that's like a mist itself, so I guess the cloud is the water. I don't know. I can't understand it. But again, that's one of those things that we can't understand. What bottles the water in heaven? And again, we can always say, what is the actual thing that happens to bring that water out of the clouds? some electro positive, negative, you know, things going on, negative ions, positive ions, something sparks it. Maybe the lightning has to come, then the lightning comes, and then all of a sudden you have an electric positive, and then the negative, and it creates some sort of energy that releases the water. Don't know. I can't explain it. I don't have the wisdom to understand it. 38. When the dust groweth into hardness, and the clods cleave fast together. That one, I had to read a little bit more. It's one of those scientific ones. That is, who knows how the dust, it's an elementary particle of matter, it's concentrated and it clots together. Several parts of the earth continue to cohere. So this is the cohesion of the earth. What is the principle of cohesion among the different particles of matter? In all metals and minerals, even water, in a solid form, it constitutes a part of several gems called thence water of crystallization. So water of crystallization. Who can solve this question? Who is it that 90 parts of aluminum, okay, 7 of silex, and 1.2 of oxide or iron constitutes the oriental ruby? And that 90 parts of silic and 19 of water form the precious opal. And how can 56 parts of silic, 14 of aluminum, 28 of carbonate of lime, and 6.5 of sulfate of lime, 3 of oxide of iron, and 2 of water enter into the constitution and form the substance of a lapis lazuli? Don't know what that is. How do these solids and fluids of such differing natures grow into hardness and form this curious mineral? So when we see all these beautiful minerals together and these chemicals coming together to make those minerals, and how do they even come together? Take another example from the beautiful precious stone of emerald, the emerald stone. Its analysis shows to be composed of glucin 13, silic 64.5, alumin 16, lime 1.6, and oxide of chrome 3.25. How can these dust utterly worthless in themselves grow into hardness? So you get dust, and then when they're combined together, form these precious gems, right? The infinite wisdom of God is the only thing that can explain that. So we can't even explain the minerals that we have, you know, the topaz, all these beautiful things that we have, crystals. So how do they grow to be come together like that? How does that happen? And then in 39, would thou hunt the prey for the lion or fill the appetite of the young lions? That's in 39. With that one, in 39, I'm missing that one. So we're going to, with a hunt the prey for the lion and fill the appetite of the young lions. Okay. We'll skip that one. Go to 40. When the couch in their dens, and abide in the covert, to lie in wait. So they crouch in their dens, and then they lurk. They abide or they lurk into their lairs of wait. Let me see what that is talking about. That's a little different one. It says, before they are capable of trusting themselves abroad, abide in covert. Before they are able to hunt down the prey by running. I look at nature programs and you'll see like a young lion. And then they're little cubs. And then when they're born, they have this play that they develop. And when they see these cubs just playing around, what they realize on observation is that these cubs are actually practicing for hunt. But you don't see the parents teaching them the hunt. Not at that point. They're too young. Now, all of these moves that they're making, you know, juggler, bites, and all of these things that seem like innocent play, they come out. as if there was something written in their DNA to tell them exactly how to be able to hunt. Then when they get older, the parents take them out, and then they can see and learn from their parents. We got 3 minutes, okay. But before that, what is it that allows the animals to be able to know which, how do they even know which one is the prey? Okay, how does an animal instinctively know this is the animals that I eat, these are the ones that I don't eat? Is it just trial? Does a lion just go and try to eat every animal on the earth? And then after a while it learns in its lifetime, okay, I can't eat that porcupine, I can't eat this one, I can't eat that one. They just seem to instinctively know if it's this animal, this is going to be their prey, okay? So where does that information come from? And it says in verse 41, who provided for the raven for food? When his young ones cry unto God, they wonder for lack of meat. So we can look at the birds. The birds, there's so many things about nature. I mean, when you look at nature programs, and I was looking at a lot of things about life that lives underneath the earth. Birds, you know, how they're able to survive. We can look at every species of animal, not just the birds. But it's like, where did this knowledge come from? Who gave the animal world the knowledge? Who gave the insect world the knowledge? The aquatic life underneath the oceans and the sea, at different levels, the dolphins, the whales, and all the bottom dwellers. I mean, this is a very complex world that we live in, and complex creatures doing complex things. And there is a system, an ecosystem that is in place that follows the rules and follows certain laws. The question would be, explain to me where these laws come from. Explain to me how nature itself is following these laws. Can you explain that? No, we can't. So again, the lesson in 38, as we move on to chapter 39 next time, is the fact that we cannot question the Almighty God. First of all, he's not going to answer us, right? He may do us the same way he did Job. What did he do to Job? Did he answer Job's questions? No. He answered it with a question. Were you there when the earth was created? He started asking him questions. He didn't sit there and say, well, Job, you asked me why this happened, so let me explain to you why. Because guess what? Our peon brains cannot even fathom, we don't have the ability to understand if God were to explain it to us anyway. So why would he bother to explain? We don't have that sort of mind. His thoughts further from our thoughts, his ways far beyond our ways. The Bible says, who can know him? We can't. We don't have the physical capacity in our bodies to know everything about God. That's why he's God. And so we have to be very, very careful when we stop and we question him. That is the lesson. Okay, that's the completion of 38. Is there anyone here that has any questions on my right-hand side? Any questions or comments? In the middle section, questions or comments? No questions or comments or corrections. Like I said, I'll tell you in a minute, my mouth and my brain are not always on sequence. So if I said something off kilt, please let me know. Yes? Is it a sin? Well, let's just say that the whole lesson in Job is that God is teaching him. The one thing we realize that with Job's, the wrong that Job did was to question God. So if it was wrong for Job, guess what? Exactly. Wrong for us too. On my left hand side. Yes, sir. Yep, he will bring us through some difficult times. I mean, like I said, some of you know my situation. You know, I'm not supposed to even be able to walk and move after being with a spinal cord injury. So, you know, God's got different things. So let's pray the same thing with the coronavirus again. Pray that it mutates, okay? And let us pray together. And guess what's even stronger, y'all? Remember some of them demons that couldn't get kicked out? And they asked God, why could we not remove these demons? And Jesus said to them, what? Some of these can only be cast out with prayer and fasting. Don't be afraid to say it. May God add a blessing to the reading and study and the hearing of his word this morning.